So let's go ahead and open up with the Word of God. Father, we praise you. We honor you. Holy Spirit, sir, I welcome you here. I praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, what you've done for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, what you've done. You made a way like the parting of the Red Sea. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, sir. For Father, I ask that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I'm going to start out, and I'm just going to tell you, my Redeemer lives. Amen. One of the reasons that I serve God is because He has delivered my big fat hind end so many times you cannot even count them. You know, I don't worship Him and honor Him out of being fired up. I worship Him because He delivered me again today. And this thing could have been so big that there might not even have been a grace place. So if that tells you anything, how powerful God is, and there's a lot of grace place out here. Amen. Well, let's get started. And I really want to thank you and welcome you here. Like, it's been a little hectic, and I just really thank you for being here. And let me settle in and get some of this just love off of me. You know, the Lord is just pouring out on us. It's amazing. We were in such a turmoil that we were in last night, and we go through that in life, okay? We go through that. But on my way up here, this same place that we were in turmoil in, it wasn't nothing. It was a mistake. It wasn't something that somebody had done. All the T's were crossed. All the I's were dotted. They seen all of that. But on my way up here, and I'm pulling, getting close, and that same major corporation, probably the biggest in, wouldn't you say? In this part of the nation, called me and said, "You think you could get us 6 to 8 more guys?" And we were in such a turmoil last night. That makes no sense. You know, that doesn't make sense. But let me tell you something. That's favor. That's favor. Okay. The sound of God persuading us to devotion. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit about me. The way that I speak, or the way that I try to deliver a message or give a word or share God's word is I rely upon the Spirit of God. Okay? I rely upon the Holy Spirit. I you don't need me. You need Him. You need Him through me. So the way that I get before God and let Him download, you know, upon me. So the sound of God persuading us to devotion. And I ask myself, and I urge you to ask yourself, what is the sound of God? I'm a practical guy. I have to deal with practical everyday things. So I asked myself, what is the sound of God? And this is the answer that I got. Any sound that would exalt Him, honor Him, reveal His sovereignty, and make His presence known to whatever or whomever, however He chooses. Fair enough? If He'll use a donkey, He'll use this jackass. Remember, this is a man's camp. Sorry. Amen? If He'll make the rocks cry out, that makes no sense that a rock will cry out, does it? But He said they will. He said the trees will clap. Now I'm going to get out of preaching and more teaching. When I hear the phrase sound of God, I think of these examples. Hearing and seeing Him through the Holy Spirit, which indwells in each Christian. Hearing Him and seeing Him in the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, who indwells each Christian. Now we've got powerfully gifted people in here. Now, a lot of you, I'm sure, can relate when I say hearing Him in the Spirit and seeing Him in the Spirit, or seeing things in the Spirit, or hearing people all the time. Tammy will bear witness to this. A lot of people ask me, what's the Lord telling you? What are you seeing? Because I see things. And there's many of you here that are gifted in that. I know there's many people here gifted in prophetic words. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. So I see and hear in the Spirit. Okay? Number two, which is not in any order, hearing and seeing Him through His children, that is us, surroundings and creation. And what's the backup verse for that? Romans 8:14-16, Romans 1-9. One of the most powerful encounters I ever had with God, and I later found out that a book had been written about it, was I was standing before the Lord provided Grace Place Farm to me. I was standing over a kitchen sink in a little trailer up in Appling, Georgia, where I was waited. We waited. I waited on God. This woman will bear witness. I'm glad she's here. Waited on this house and this farm for 9.5 years. I lived in a trailer up there. Many times, the Lord's blessed us. We could afford to do, you know, got something out. But the Lord kept telling me, wait, 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 wait. And He blew my socks off. I could have never imagined what He had. So the Lord can use anything He wants to use. I was looking at those soap suds, and the Lord spoke and ministered to me through soap suds. And it goes back to the first part we opened up with. How will God speak to you? Any way He chooses. In any fashion He chooses. Amen? He's God. He's the boss. Amen? Number three. Primarily, we hear, see, know, and listen. And the reason that the Holy Spirit give me the way that we hear, see, know, and listen, it's all one in the Spirit. I see and hear the same way through the Spirit. Y'all getting that? And I listen. It's really all one thing. Primarily, we see, hear, know, and listen, believe, follow, accept, and obey God through His Word. Primarily, we hear, see, know, listen, believe, follow, and accept, and obey God through His Word. We are reconciled to God through His Word by the Word. According to the Word. Amen? Amen? Obey. That's a special word. If you was to go to a older Webster's Dictionary, and many of you in here, I do a lot of word study. You know, I get to minister in a lot of places. The Lord really opens up a lot of doors. My everyday ministry is out here with a lot of men. Every Tuesday, in one particular plant, one of the bigger ones in this area, we have a full-blown ministry. We preach the gospel. It'll be our 8th year inside a plant that the plant gives us a room. And let me tell you something. They would be afraid, I believe, to stop that ministry. Because during the tough times, you know, that a lot of business, they have been on top. They are now the worldwide leader in their industry. They'll tell you what that ministry means. Now, they might not come out and say it, but let me tell you something. What do you need? The bigger boys, the money people, you need anything? When sales are like that, it's not by chance. It's called favor. Obey. To hear, to give ear. Obey to hear and give ear. To what? The sound of God. And we name three principles there how to do that. Psalms 107:20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Amen. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. John 3:16. Everybody in here knows it. You quoted it when you was in Bible school, drinking Kool-Aid and eating oatmeal cookies. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Think about the message there. Think about the dedication. The dedication of God. Think about the devotion. Hebrews 1, 1 and 3. Now we're talking about how we primarily hear from God. As primarily we hear through his word. You give me the word any day. Okay? Primarily the word. Hebrews, let's see what Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3 says. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Amen? We have prophets today. We have prophets today. Just to get through this real quickly, they covered my picture of me and a fellow prophet over here at the lodge, a short black gentleman with our arms around one another, Prophet Sylvester Matthews. He called me one day and he said, Mark, where you at? I said, I'm working, man. You know where I'm at. He said, I see children. I see children coming out of the woods, coming up to you at Grace Place, coming up to you as a father figure. That was on a Tuesday. That Thursday, I think it was, 5 children walked out of the woods. Tell me a prophetic word is not for today. Amen. If it wasn't for prophetic words, it's been spoken over me, I could not be secure where I'm at today. Take that word and hold on to it. So he spoke through the prophets. Verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And we're talking about the sound of God, the voice of God, the word of God persuading us to devotion. So how does he do that? How does he communicate? In these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him, whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had himself purged out our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen? Amen? John 1, 1. Now, I'm a scripture man. I'm a word of God man. So if you're going to get around me, you're going to get the word. One way or the other. Because it's all about the word. John 1, 1. We know it. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen? I had a group of guys come up to me one time and said, Mark, we want to talk to you. Was down on the production line one time. He said, I need to know if God's real or not. I need to be introduced to God. I looked at him, I said, fine, you want to do it tonight? He said, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. I said, go to where your TV is and where you got your TV and you got your Bible sitting on top of your nightstand right there where the TV is, open it up and you'll meet God. He said, man, how'd you know it was there? I didn't, I hadn't received it. I just knew he had a Bible, I didn't get divine spiritual inspiration from that. But if we want to know God, we got to get in the Word. Amen? Amen? John 1, 3 and 4. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, 12 through 13. But as many received him, to them he gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. What's Jesus' name? It's Jesus, right? What's it mean? God saves. Yahweh saves. Isn't that appropriate? Jesus means Yahweh saves. Who were, verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor the will of men, nor the will of the flesh or men, nor the will of man, but of God. But of God. John 1, 14 through 16 and 17. And the Word became flesh. You all know these scriptures. You hear them all the time. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Now get this, full of grace and truth. Hold on to this word, because this is the word of the year. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've heard this, but I'm going to share this with you. You hold on to this word this year. And of His fullness we have all received. What do you think you received from Him? I mean, you couldn't start telling all you received from Him. But what He's primarily meaning right here is you received grace and truth. Let me tell you something. It's an awesome thing. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. Let's back up. It's an interesting statement right here. He says, and grace for grace. Think about that. Let's just, you know, if we don't go no further, hey, I own the place. It's not a big deal. Think about grace for grace. And I'm going to share something with you. We're going to have a little illustration. And I knew the Lord would put somebody in my life. Brother, you come up here with me, please. Yes, sir. What's your first name?
Ben.
Give it to me again.
Ben.
Benny?
Ben.
Say it again.
Ben.
Ben. Okay, Ben. Sit right here. Now, what would be grace for grace? Think about it. What is grace? Some people say the love of God, right? That's fair enough. What about the unmerited favor or favor of God? Would you buy that? Is that fair enough? But He gave grace for grace. Does anybody know what the number of grace is? It's five, right? On the natural aspect, when I'm an equipped person to give grace for grace. Okay, I reach right out to my dear sister. See that? I got five fingers. I reach in grace, right? How many senses were we given? Five senses. How many toes do we normally have? We've got five. Every step I take in grace. But we were given, who has His fullness of grace and truth? He is full of grace and truth, right? That's what the Word said. We've been burning the Scriptures up, right? But He give us grace for grace. Let me ask you something. If you don't have something, can you give it away? Can you give it away? Can't do it. Okay, now this is just an illustration, and this is what the Lord showed me to do. Okay? You need to be thankful He put you on my heart. Okay? And I don't get to carry cash much now, Tabby, I'll tell you. I never see my paycheck. She puts it in the bank for me because I'll spend it or it'll go. Five is the number of grace. He give us grace for grace. Now, I give you grace. $5 bills. Now, what would you think that the Holy Spirit is meaning when He said grace for grace? I'm giving you grace. Now, what do you think you're to do with this? First of all, I think that He give you, if you give it all away, you won't have any. Okay? But He give you grace to have, to be graceful. Okay? He give you grace to give grace. Amen? That's what He did. You give grace, brother, however you choose to give it. Amen. That is the illustration of grace for grace. I don't know if you've ever picked that out of the Bible, but that's what that is. He has given us grace for grace. And if you don't have it, I give it. Amen. I'm glad He didn't give me a higher denomination. But it's grace for grace. Amen. It's grace for grace. How are people saved? By grace you are saved through faith. Man, if grace is not on the scene, you won't have people get saved. Amen? Do you all remember John chapter 5? Lord, I'm going to have to try to stay with it. But at the Gates Beautiful at the pool of Bethesda? How the guy that was, you know, invalid? How did he enter the sheep gate, the pool of Bethesda? How did he enter? He entered by the five porches. Grace was on the scene. Let me ask you a question. How many ever heard of King David? David, the shepherd boy David. When he defeated that devil. When he went to the brook of Kidron, how many stones did he get? Hello? Through grace, the house of Israel was spared. How many did it take? It took one. He had more grace to give out. Check it out and see how many more events that he was brought through. But if grace is not on the scene, people won't be saved. Why? Because it's impossible. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. Grace has to be present. Guess who grace is? It's you. You were given grace for grace. Hey, when I walk on the scene, the whole atmosphere is supposed to change because grace just walked in. Amen? That's what it means. The Word persuading us to devotion. The Word persuading us to devotion has now equipped us to be the image, likeness, and representative of devotion. Whose devotion? The Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Let's see what devotion is. Let me back up what I... Let this preacher preach and back it up. Listen to this. Devotion. It's a synonym. Now, Tammy is a stickler on words. She is so precise. It's unreal. She has almost give up trying to correct my grammar and language and writing skills. What does devotion mean? Piety. You're proud of me. I got that right, didn't I? She hadn't seen this before 9:30 today. Piety, devoutness, dedication, love, attachment. Let's talk about devotion. Think about it. Being devoted, devotion. The state of being devoted or set apart for a particular purpose. What's that sound like? That sounds like 1 Peter to me. A purpose, a particular purpose, a yielding of the heart and affections to God with reverence, piety, particularly in prayer and meditation, devoutness, ardent attachment to a person or cause, attachment manifested by constant attention. Let me ask you a question. How many in here have studied the Bible? Y'all have. This ain't no loaded question. Who in here can show me in the Word of God where Jesus ever thought about what he was doing? I'm waiting. Do you think he knew what was happening?
One pastor said he was possibly waiting to hear God's voice.
But we don't know what he was doing. Okay. Jesus never thought about what he was doing. Why didn't he think about what he was doing? Because he was in constant devotion to God through the Spirit of God. Okay? I'm not saying as a man he was all man, and he had gave up his Godhead rights, right, according to the Word. I'm not saying that he did not listen, but it's never, well, how many in here have ever said, well, maybe I think I shouldn't have done that. Maybe we ought to do this. Maybe we ought to do that. Jesus never thought. He was in the constant will and attachment to God. Through how? Through the Spirit. Sure.
When did that
constant devotion start with you? From the time of his birth or from the time at Canaan
when he changed the water into wine?
Well, I would think that the most evident, as far as I know, Scripture would be that I see a constant devotion when you're 12 years old and you're hanging around a bunch of religious people, so to speak, and you're somewhat teaching them, and his mama comes up, Jesus, how could you have done to this? We pulled our hat. Man, the donkeys, the you know, everything's going, everybody, you know, it's crazy. And he said, well, you should have known I've been with my father. I'd be about my father's business. So that's devotion to me, okay? You got something? The last book of John, John 21, what does John say about Jesus? Bam! What does he say? He says that the world could not contain the books that could be written about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? As far as Mary, his mother, knowing, Mary knew a lot of things. Why? Because she had a visitation from Gabriel before the birth. Hello? She knew these things. But do you think doubt ever came into her? Maybe so. Maybe so. I'm just being practical. Is the world trying on you? Will it try to bring you down? Whatever. Sure, I'm sure there was trying. But she held on, didn't she? She held on. Piety. What is piety? It mentioned that in there. Piety. Reverence of Jehovah Almighty God and love of his character to exercise these affections in obedience to his will. What's God's will? Right there. If you want to know God's will in your life, it's right here.
Hallelujah.
It's Jesus. Amen? In obedience to his will, God's word, his word, God's will is his word, devotion to his service. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Let me read that again. Just as the Son of Man came to, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life, give his life a ransom for many. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think he used the term Son of Man instead of saying myself or Jesus? Now you probably heard this. What does Son of Man normally depict? Humanity. It says over in the book of Luke that the Son of Man, get this now, did not come to seek and to save, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Why didn't it say Jesus? It said Son of Man. God spoke to me one time. All right, we're going to give a little illustration. You know what he called me? I was in seminary at the time. I was in a Baptist cultured seminary, okay? Is that fair enough? Word people. God spoke to me. You know what he said? Son of Man, do this. I went to the professor, the head cat, the head man. I told him that term. You know what he said? That's very possible. That's very possible. But he spoke to me and he called me Son of Man. Son of Man will refer, it's in the Bible 380 some times, I think it is, will refer to humanity. And we know Jesus as the Son of Man. Amen. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. The firstborn, right? Is that fair enough? But when he says humanity, so when he says that the Son of Man will seek and to save and will save that which is lost, he's talking to me. How do I save somebody? Do you know you can save somebody? Don't throw stuff at me. It's my own house. Kill me outside, but not in my own house. I couldn't save myself, could I? I was the biggest hellion ever was. I have been referred to as the biggest pagan prior to Christ than any man that I'm just telling you. She'll tell you. Well, you're looking at a man in his prior life that totally obliterated the the total Ten Commandments. But when God saved me, He saved me. How do you save somebody? Let's get back on track now. How do you save somebody? You tell them about Jesus. You give them the word of reconciliation. You tell them what He's done for you, just like last night. Man, that Jesus saved me again. He saved me again. That's what He does. That's why we call Him Savior. What's a Savior do? He saves. What's Jesus' name? God saves. That's what Jesus means. Okay. And there's scriptures to back that up. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. So if Jesus did that, what do you think little Jesus is here should do? Little Christ, what do you think we're to do? Give our life as a ransom for many. I'm not my own. I'm His. I was bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus purchased me. I'm not my own. Amen? I'm not my own. My life is a ransom for many. If Jesus did it, it applies to me. Who's His representative here? If you're waiting on Jesus to come back and save somebody, you can forget it. You can forget that. If you're expecting Him to get out here on the streets and everywhere to do what you are empowered to do, and you who received His fullness and grace for grace, it's you. It's me. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25. Having been, all right, back up, I'm sorry. Scripture references is Galatians 5:13, Colossians 3:24, Hebrews 9:14, Galatians 5:13. I'll give anybody a copy of this if they want it. It's got a lot of scriptures in it. I downloaded all these primarily last night, the Lord giving them to me.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Devotion is not just a word. Devotion is not just a word. It's the word. The Lord Jesus Christ is devotion. You let that soak in. If you don't ever get anything else in your life, you grab a hold of that one. 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. What abides forever? The Word of God. Hey, let me tell you something. We got a lot of smart people in this world. A lot of intellectual people. And you know, it's never, this Word right here has never been proven wrong. The Word of God's never been proven wrong. It will abide and endure forever and ever and ever and ever. It's my blood. The Word of God's my blood. I quote that over me and my guys over here continuously. When we, our men's prayer meeting over here, we have guys, was anybody here this past when we had, Elisa was here. We prayed for 2.5 hours over there. Right, brother? My brother was there. We pray. We get before God, let Him be God. We tell Him about, Lord, you know, He knows anyway. If He is who the Bible says He is, He knows anyway. And if I'm going to believe that He saved me from death, hell, and the grave, or if I believe that He's going to save me from hell, I got to believe He's going to save me from $1 million hit.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Hello? I mean, you can't even sell that junk at a bar room if you go, you know, we've got to show faith. If I'm going to believe that He died for me, and I get eternal life, and I got some mansion up in heaven, I got to believe He's going to make a way for me here in this life. I got to believe that He's going to do what His Word says He'll do. How cheap is that? To think that you know, oh, I know I'm saved, but I know I'm going to starve to death. If I'm going to believe that He saved me, I got to know He's going to give me daily provisions and get me through whatever I'm going through. And the way He gets you through is through His Word, because His Word is devotion. He is devoted to you, and He's devoted to me. All flesh is as grass, And the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of God endures forever. Jesus is the word of God. Now, this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Nugget of truth right here. The Lord spoke to me I think at 2:00 last night. The word, Jesus Christ, being devotion, secured and secures his children in the way, in the truth, and in the life of devotion. What scripture does that remind you of? John 14:6. Is that right? The word, Jesus Christ, being devotion. He's all three. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. That's what it is. That's what devotion is. That woman's devoted to me. She's devoted to me. Bottom line. And she knows I'm devoted to her. Amen. The word, Jesus Christ, being devotion, secured and secures his children in the way, the truth, and the life of devotion. Jesus said, he said to him, who did he say it to? He said it to Thomas. Jesus said to him, now what did Thomas do? What do we know Thomas as? He was still a mighty man of God. He was a disciple. Anybody in here ever, besides me, ever fall in doubt a little bit? And you know when you're in doubt, what's on the scene? Fear is on the scene. What is the counterpart to fear? Faith. What's the counterpart to faith? Fear. When fear is on the scene, doubt will try to creep in. He'll try to creep in right like this, any way he can. He will. And he will come at you when the word halt is on the scene. H-A-L-T. When you're in a situation, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, get ready, you're fixing to get hit. When halt, the word halt, is being illustrated. Hungry, which we don't miss no meals out here. You might be hungry for compassion. You might be hungry for love. You might be hungry for companionship. But when you're hungry and you're angry, lonely, or tired, is the same as an injured little antelope and the lion coming to devour. When you're in that situation, you gotta be reminded. You gotta constantly remind yourself, watch out. I'm not saying be in fear. Start loading up on scriptures. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. The sound of God persuading us to devotion. That's the name of our talking. What's persuade mean? Anybody ever think about what persuade means? How many of us have been persuaded? I've been persuaded to do some things that I am still paying for today, and I am 32 now.
So am I.
Amen. I got great. Also called a liar in that sense. Okay?
Thank you, Lord.
Persuade. To urge. Now hold on to this. Hold on to this. To urge, to advise, to influence by argument. Advice. Help me, Tammy. Exposition. EXP. Somebody help me. EXPOSTULATION. Okay, for whatever it means. To argue or reason into a certain course of action. To advise. to try to influence, to convince by argument or reasons offered. People will try to persuade you in that manner. Now get this. How does the Lord Jesus persuade someone? Instead of an argument, how does he persuade you? Bam. And the one I like to add right with that, which in a lot of ways it's the same thing, is grace. Amen. He comes up to me and he says, Mark, when he come to me in that trailer up in Appling, he come to me and he poured his love on me and his truth was on the scene and it revealed that I was lacking in my life. And when truth is on the scene, it's a pathway to God's heart. When truth is on the scene, it's a pathway to God's heart. And let me tell you something, there's only good things in the heart of God. But instead of an argument and a threat and this or that, he comes to you in grace, truth, and love. Amen? Nothing can stand up to the truth of God. Nothing can stand up to the truth of God. Romans 4:14-11 says, for it is written. And if you study the Bible, which you all do, when it says it is written, you better jump on it with 2 feet. In other words, establish yourself on it. What does the Word do? It never fails. It never ends. It endures forever. Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. What are they going to confess? That Jesus Christ is Lord. The things above the earth, the things on the earth, and things below the earth. When truth is on scene, principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places tumble. When you walk up in the fullness of God with grace and truth, the enemy's strongholds yield to the truth of God. He gave you grace for grace. Have you spent all your money already? You done given it out. Amen. When he says that he gave his fullness, it's grace and truth. Man, we just don't realize what we are. I firmly believe this, and if you get to heaven before I do, or I get there before you do, I believe the first time that we come in the presence of God, we will go like that. Man, I could have had a V8. We could have said, I could have led the nations to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to have any regrets. Amen. Think about it. When we stand, when you get before Jesus, everything but yields. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. When truth is on the scene, it's a pathway to God's heart. The way and the truth and the life definitions. How much time we got? Okay. When I think of the way, I want you to think about that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when I think of everything that Jesus has in His Word and everything that Jesus did, especially everything that He empowers us through His Word, I know everything in there is for me. Everything Jesus has, I have. Now, I don't mean to warp some of you. This is just how this man thinks. You know why I think that? Because I'll do it over here. She knows my heart. She is my God right now. I am seated with Him in heavenly places. Amen? Everything that Jesus has, I have. I'm His son. What did John 1:12 say there a minute ago? To those who believe, they have the right to become the sons of God, right? I'm His sons. And by the way, I have full authority of His signature. Hello, study your Bibles. Full authority. All right, let's look at the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, He said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, the world will tell you all kinds of ways to be secure in God. But there's one way, according to the Scriptures. And that is through the Word. That is through the devotion, the person of devotion. That is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And no other way. According to what is written. Okay? All right, wait. And I skipped over Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, I'll hit it real quick. Therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He is faithful. How many have ever read over in the book of Revelation? I have not spent no more than I know, even in study, not no more than 10 hours in the book of Revelation. The Lord's never led me to it, but there's one part I like. When he comes out there and he's got that vesture, and he's got that road on him that no man knows what's wrote, right? Y'all remember that? He's got wrote upon him that what no man can write, but he's got his name is Faithful and True. He's got wrote on him Faithful and True. Now I want to hit on that just briefly. Faithful to what? Faithful to what I told you as the truth has now become true because I stand before you. See, if you study the word true and truth, it's the same word. What I told you, I'm faithful to what I told you. When he's standing there and he's not on no donkey no more, he's kicking, he's coming to kick hind end and take names, so to speak. He's not taking names, it's finished, it's all over. Okay? And he's got wrote on him, faithful and true. I've been faithful to what I've told you, and what I told you as the truth is now true. Because truth stands before you. Amen? Way. What's the way? Road, path, a general term for a thoroughfare to get from one place to the other. By extension, way is a manner of life. The way is the term for the Christian lifestyle or a course of conduct. When you're on the job site or you're at your home or wherever we're at, we're showing people the way to Christ or a way away from Christ. Have I ever showed anybody away from Christ? Absolutely. I'm an aggressive fella. I have blew apart before. I have. But I've also shared the love of the Lord with a bunch of them too. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than that he that is of the old fleshy mark. The world. Okay? So let's take this meaning as far as a road and a pathway, a thoroughfare to get from one place to another. It's also a term for a lifestyle. It's the way. All right, truth. Truthfulness corresponding to reality. Truth, true. Old Testament views as an essential quality of God, signifying his reliability, dependability, and faithfulness. That's what truth is. Truth never fails. Jesus and God are truth. He's truth. Life. What is life? You know, I didn't mention the Greek word, but zoe, life. Life, physical or spiritual, with eternal life, is the simplest sense to the word. It refers to the existence and opposed to non-existence or death. How can we take, I'm going to end up, I've got a bunch more. If you want to know all these scriptures we got here on truth and life and way, I can give you a copy of them. We've got bunches. Amen. I've got to find where I'm at here. Let's wind this thing up. And then we can talk, do anything y'all want to talk. In what aspects is our God the way, the truth, and the life? I want you to ask you that self, right? Ask you this question. In what reality or what aspect is God the way, the truth, and the life? We talked about salvation. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. I'm going to answer it for you. I want you to look at me. In everything. In everything. Amen. You know, as I was driving up here, the Lord started speaking it to me, and I just called Tammy on the phone and said, hey, put this in. You know, write this down, because I'm so busy. We've been so busy, I don't even have time sometimes to write something down. I'm telling you, the Lord blesses us. Let me tell you something about blessing. We have already got more work this year. We had more work before the year started than we normally do at midpoint in the year.
Thank you, Lord.
And other people are saying, you know, man, what's going on? You know, you got how's everything? Every time anybody asks me, said, what's going on? I say one thing, and this is all I'll ever say, the Lord blesses. Anybody ask me anything about any situation, I say, the Lord blesses. How you doing today? The Lord blesses. How's your work looking? The Lord blesses. He flat blesses. In my relationship to God, He is the way, the truth, and life. Now, we have ministry people in here today, and I want you to grab a hold of this. It's not just the next one. In my relationship to my spouse, my family, friends, job, career, occupation, and not forgetting all of my brothers and sisters in Christ, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Think about it. In my everyday life, He is the way, the truth, and life. In my relationship to the unsaved, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now get this one. We're gonna go with however the Holy Spirit leads it. In my representation to Him, in your representation of Him, let me back that up. In my representation of Him, in your representation of Him, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Now, I'm guilty of this. How many have ever tried to represent God in their own power? Not yielding to the presence and power, the Word and Spirit of God to lead us in the direction. How crazy is it to be the men and women of authority? We are the men and women and men of God of authority. We're His authority. And not seek out the authority. In other words, it would be like you reporting for a job and not going to the boss what he wants to have done, what is on his agenda. We do not sometimes represent God in the way, the truth, and life. Amen? We try to do it in our own power. Amen. Well, yes, I can. That I could have got on the internet and got some things off the internet and not dedicating myself to prayer. Lord, what do you want to say to me? Not listening to the Word of God and letting the Lord lead me over Like I said, I'm very busy. I did set myself away for one whole day and just let the power, the presence of God download on me what direction, okay? But every evening praying on this. In other words, I could have got on the internet and really got some nice, feely, touchy things, but it would have had no power. It would have not had the grace and truth in it that the Lord intended to minister to the ones here today. See, He knows the ones that will be here today, and I pray He touched them in a way with His plan. So I didn't come of my own will. I came of His will. Not my will, Lord, but Your will be done. That, you know, if you've ever been to, I want to say, and it's a good thing, a seminary, they'll teach you, you know, you can get about any type of sermon you want. You know, I know some guys, when I was in seminary, I've always been a Spirit-led person. Even when I was hellion, I was led by the spirit of the devil. I'll tell you that. But they would never rely. I got up one time in the seminary. I said, "What about what the Spirit of God says?" They looked at me right like that. But when the Lord gave me a word for the guy over all the seminary, and the Lord put it on my heart and told him, "This is how much money you got to have." He went like this. "You just don't know. That is the exact amount." I said, "That's what the Lord told me you needed. That's being led by the Spirit." The next night I walked in, the Lord spoke to me and changed the amount and said, "Go to him. Tell him, this is how much more you need now." He goes, "Go!" Started throwing a letter right like that. "I got this in the mail today. That's the exact amount that we need." The Spirit of God also had me with that man because he was a good man. He's a good man, but he was just caught up in being religious, you know. When I walked in one night with a bag of Charms blow pops, dirty and nasty, and I said, "The Lord told me you wanted to give these to you." He fell back. Joyce! Hollered at his wife, who was precious people. Said, "Didn't I just tell you, sitting in the chair resting before the class when that Charms Blow Pop commercial come up, that I had to have one?" That's what the Spirit of God will do. You can't perform those messages. You can't fake that. I've tried to fake it. They had me a big get-together one time. Mighty man of God. Tammy will tell you, there's a lot of these posters are still around here. There was 100 people over there. Mark, the mighty man of God. And this is what the Lord told me. I went on a walk to Emmaus, and I was trying to be a mighty man of God. I want to be a mighty man of God, but I made the mistake, sweetheart. I was doing it in my own power. And there ain't been nobody, many people. I'm like a turtle out here. I'm so dedicated somewhat. I was raised that way. I'd latch on to something, even to the death, so to speak. And that can be good, but that also can be bad. And I was trying so hard, studying to be a mighty man of God. And a lot of people recognized that. They threw me this big party, big surprise party. I didn't tell them to do it. But this is, I just got before God. I'd been through a 2-year trial. That was the first time since I got saved that I disobeyed my Father. I fell in a relationship, and God laid me an outline what not to do with that precious woman I was with. I'm being real to you. You get me, you get the truth now. And I disobeyed God, and I have never felt so lonely and so outcast. I knew he was still there and he was governing me, but I was out of his will. And let me tell you, as one that is called, that's a dangerous place to be. As one that has been called to the mountain, that's a dangerous place. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Give me my thought, Lord. Amen. Give me the thoughts, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But I fell out of the will of God, and it took me a long time to come over it. But I lost my train of thought. I just somebody pray on me or something. But I was going somewhere real good. See, I might have been doing it in my own power. But anyway, I was doing it on my own. Thank you, dear. I love that girl. But I was on a walk to Emmaus, and I was just, man, I was down, and I was just crying, and this is what God spoke to me down there the last night of that walk to Emmaus, and I had my head down, and I was having it, and let me tell you something, and I was so distraught that when we, as a group, you know, and I'm not going to tell everything that to do, you get up, and you even have to say the group table, you're at the table of Andrew or whoever, and I'm on the walk, so-and-so, walk 112 to the road of Emmaus, you know, whatever. I was so distraught, I couldn't hardly even speak. And I have no problem speaking because I speak all the time. I probably have a little more trouble speaking to people, but I also was on a Christian talk radio show for, what, 3 years? Every Tuesday night. So, I mean, we really can... You know, you get on radio time, you can speak. But I couldn't hardly speak. And that last night that I was right there, and this is what the Lord said to me. He said, Mark, you have tried so hard to be something in me. Let me be something in you. That's what he said. Mark, you have tried so hard to be something in me. Let me be something in you. That's what he said. And I pray that for each one of you.
Hallelujah.
That we, you know, we can get caught up. And don't get me wrong. A dedicated man, a diligent man, according to the word of God, will stand before kings. Yeah. It is a great thing to be diligent. But when we start doing it in our own power, in the power of Mark, and not doing it in the way, in the truth, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not endure. It's not of God. Now, don't get me wrong. We get a lot of good intentions there, and we get things done, but it's not like it could be when He does it.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Anybody got any questions? Anybody? I appreciate your patience. The last time that, it wasn't this past weekend, but I was speaking, a pastor called me to speak at a church up in Lincolnton, and we started at 11 o'clock, and we ended at almost 3 o'clock. When I got through delivering the word that the Lord had laid on my heart to deliver, that He guided me to deliver, there was 40 people came up. Now get this, that's one thing. But every one of them, I think I seen one guy out of the corner of my eyes, and I just said, if you would like to have prayer, if you would like to me to speak to you, come up and I will assist your pastor with your pastor, you know, and I know the pastor. And he said, brother, it's yours. You and he stood behind me, and his wife stood behind me, and they waited for almost 2 hours till I went and specifically prayed and spoke words of life, prophetic words, word, you know, give them what the Lord was, you know, downloading into me. Lord, give me words of wisdom, I'd share it with them. They waited almost 2 hours till we got through that whole group. That's devotion. That's what the Word of God will persuade you into devotion. They were devoted to hear a word. Everybody needs a word from the Lord. You know, and we said, how does He do that? How does the Lord communicate? He communicates any way He wants to. He communicates, you know, through events, children, His children. You know, I've had people give me words all the time. So it's just good. It's good. So anybody got anything they want to say?